Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joined now by Dr. Einat Wolf. She's a former member of the Israeli Knesset, a political commentator. She's an author, and she has been very vocal in the areas of diplomacy in Israel. What we wanted to talk to her about was the latest proposal, the Trump ceasefire. Israel has apparently accepted the terms, but we wanted to understand a little bit more about it. Dr. Einat Wolf, thank you for joining us. How are you? Hoping you're well.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Tough times indeed.
Very difficult day in Israel yesterday. But let's just talk about the President Trump's ceasefire proposal. First of all, I find it fascinating that it's being portrayed as President Trump's. Is that deliberate?
Yes. I think this is really his wish. What is interesting, at least in what is tweeted, obviously, I don't know anything behind the scenes, but at least what his proposal seems to say for the first time is to essentially separate the question of the hostages from the question of the negotiations for how exactly the war will end.
Right.
Because what was unique in the way that people were kidnapped this time, not only in terms of scale, that in the past, in the history of Palestinian kidnappings, generally they kidnapped people in order to try to release some of their butchers from Israeli jails. What they did this time, which was unprecedented, is they kidnapped people from their beds on a Shabbat morning in order to ensure that at the end of the day, they will not pay an enduring price for the massacre that they committed and for the invasion, that they will be able to remain in power and control the Gaza Strip and have the billions flowing. And
right.
This is how they've been using the hostages for the last nearly 2 years. They would release some of them in exchange for essentially buying more time and undoing some of Israel's military achievements. Now, basically what the American president is now saying, at least outwardly,
right.
is enough. He's kind of trying to bring back the old style of what kidnappings were done for. Basically, exchange the hostages, release the hostages, and Israel will release Palestinian butchers from its jails. Still a terrible, terrible situation that we need to ransom people who were kidnapped from their beds, but at least it removes the notion that people are kidnapped and that is a legitimate way to actually achieve strategic elements with respect to the war, which is why I think Israel agreed to it. It's still a terrible ransom to pay,
right.
but at least it kind of leaves the question of how the war will end to negotiations. The American president says release all the hostages on day one. Israel will kind of hand over butchers from its jails as ransom and then negotiate how the war will end. Which again is why Israel said, yes, I would be very, very surprised if Hamas agrees to those kinds of terms.
So is that where the process is at the moment, that Israel, that Trump is pushing this one particular, this particular structure, Israel's accepted it. Is it now waiting for Hamas to revert with their view on it?
Well, Hamas has basically issued a statement that essentially repeats the same thing that it said for the last two years, that it will only release, like it tried to use a lot of positive language, you know, we're exploring these ideas, but then they essentially reiterated that the hostages will be returned only if the Israeli military completely gets out of the Gaza Strip without any kind of security perimeter even. They remain in control either directly or through some, I say it, lie of a technocrat. democratic government, which they will control behind the scenes, or and the billions of dollars go back to flowing what they call reconstruction. But we know from reconstructions what they did with the billions. So at least for now, it seems that Hamas remains very much insistent that it will use the hostages in order to reverse Israel's military achievements and to end the war without any enduring price for them. I have not yet heard anything that really changes that formula. And of course, the disaster is that Hamas is even in a position to make demands nearly 2 years after the massacre.
In terms of in terms of the Qatari government, they, although everybody's really skirted around it and there's an understanding of the role that they've played in propping up Hamas, do you think that if Hamas doesn't comply with this or doesn't accept this, which is most likely, that we will see greater pressure placed on the Qatari government?
I sincerely hope for it. I remain skeptical. You're absolutely right that Qatar has been able to appear to be some kind of benevolent mediator when in practice all it's been doing before the invasion and massacre of October 7th and certainly since is to ensure that the hostages serve the propping up of Hamas, serve the achievement of its strategic goals of essentially paying no enduring price for what they committed. And because Qatar has been so successful, basically digging its own tunnels for decades by bribing and buying assets and people and universities left and right, they are now, because basically they're a very fragile place, right? If you look at the map, all it needs is a small Saudi invasion and they're gone.
Right.
So the question is, why do Hamas leaders still have basically immunity while living in Doha? Why has America not made it clear that the American base, which is the only thing that keeps that semi-country alive, will be removed to the UAE, a much nicer ally?
Absolutely.
I mean, there are levers of pressure that have not been used, and Qatar has been able to indeed play for time and maintain its kind of image as a benevolent player while actually ensuring that Hamas, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Palestinianism as an ideology devoted to Israel's destruction basically pay no enduring price for what they did.
Absolutely frightening. Just a final question. Assuming there is a ceasefire and there will be at some point, what steps then should Israel take, as well as its partners, to ensure the both reconstruction, but the but addressing this recurring security threat?
So basically, the message, to the extent that Israel can influence it, is that there will be no reconstruction of Gaza until, and this should have been the message after previous Gazan attacks, there will be no reconstruction until we have a clear understanding that the ideology of the people of Gaza is beginning to shift. Because Hamas, at the end of the day, is not separate from the Palestinians and from the people of Gaza. It's merely the most brutal and recent executor of their ideas, but it operates in the name of the Palestinian people or the Palestinian ethos of no Jewish state. So whatever money you pump into Gaza will always be used in order to try to bring down the Jewish state. So the view should be that no dollar, no yen, no pound, nothing should go in, certainly not for reconstruction, until the Arabs of Gaza finally indicate that they have ended their century and a quarter by now war against the existence of a Jewish state, that they are truly, finally interested in building for themselves rather than destroying what the Jews have built. And then they can build whatever they want. We've seen on October 7th that the Gazans are not a charity basket case. The preparation of the invasion and massacre required years of investment in infrastructure, of planning, of diversion of billions of dollars that entered into the Strip, very sophisticated financial and economic planning. It required discipline and vision, diversifying by vision. The people of Gaza are not a charity basket case of incapable people. They are highly capable people with a terrible ideology. When we know that they have rid themselves of that ideology, then and only then can anyone talk about reconstructing Gaza.
And that is where we leave it. Give me your thoughts. 061-895-1019. Dr. Einat Wolf, former member of the Israeli Knesset. She's an author. She's a political commentator, sharing her views on the Trump proposal for a ceasefire.